And I ain't hit no drop in a minute. No, I'm about my business.
Rapper's Guide Podcast, episode 44. This is your host, Diggy Metro.
Bales Pagliacci.
And we are on the phone with Black Odyssey, Sam Houston.
Yo.
I've known you for how long now? It's got to be close to 10 years, right?
Six. Probably like more around like 11 or 12, to be honest.
Right.
Before I was in high school.
Bro, the amount of hard work that I've seen you put in over time, right? To just be looked at like you came out of nowhere, how does that feel? Like that always kind of bothers me. I want to know how that makes you feel, that it seems like you just blew up overnight, but you've been doing this shit forever.
I mean, I don't know, like, that's just like the facade that it creates for most people, because no one knows you before everyone knows you, right? So it's like, you know, kind of comes with the territory. A lot of the people that I know and respect, like you and like I've been growing with for years, like, appreciate the journey. No one cares about the journey, though. Like, they just want to see the destination. So I don't care. I mean, I'm used to it all at this point, so.
Do you feel like the move, because let's just say this right now, you were in Jersey for your whole life, right? Up till how old?
My whole life until 18.
All right, so from the time you were born to 18, you were in Jersey. You were working on music for probably 4 or 5 years at that point?
Yeah, I mean, you started me off, so I don't know, when was that?
I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything.
We started together for sure.
Yeah,
no. We did.
But
yeah, I did my first song in Mary's fucking basement.
And
for a fact.
And I remember when we first rapped on a track together, and then you told me, "Yeah, I think I'm gonna be a singer."
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Most people at that time would have probably been like, "Get the fuck out of here." How I took it was, "Nah, bro. If that's what you want to do, let's fucking do it."
Yeah, man. So many haters back where we're from, though, bro. Like, would have never worked from there.
That's what I was kind of trying to get at, right? Do you feel like, how important do you feel the move to Austin was for your career?
100%. Like, 100%. Every bit of it, you know? It was just, like, one of those things where it's, like, everyone in New Jersey is sort of, like, in this rat race, and no one is really getting the shit that they need. And if they are, they're not reaching back to help people out. There's no like infrastructure set in place to make you successful. So for me, it was just like, what the fuck am I doing here? Like, luckily it didn't take me any time. Like, I didn't cut my teeth in New Jersey in the scene at all. Like, when I decided that this is my career move, the first move was to move. There was no like, let me try it here. So I never even like tried to do it in New Jersey. I just knew already like this is not where I'm going to try to do it.
Right,
and you
just
made that
culture,
and you made that change at 18.
Yeah, I think I might have been 17, to be honest. Just like right when I graduated.
And you know, that's kind of like some of the things that we try to home in when the upcoming artists, you know, just trying to figure out, you know, if this is going to be your career, what sacrifices are you going to make, or what are you going to change within your life? And it's like coming from Jersey and then going all the way to Texas, it would definitely be like a life-changing decision. But at the end of the day, you've seen it as your career and it actually benefited you in the long run.
Yeah, it sucked. It sucked for like 4 years, to be honest. I was depressed as shit. Mm-hmm. I have no hoes. Yeah, shit. You know what I'm saying? So it was like stupid depression. I had no friends at all. So I didn't know nobody. I was just in the crib. You know what I'm saying? I had a little music set up in my crib, in my closet. And I would dead ass be sitting in my closet for hours, for like literally like 2 years straight, just trying to figure out like how to make something sound good out of what I had. So to be honest, what you sacrifice is comfort.
Mm.
Like, the comfort of like, you know, being around your homies and having your homies gas you. I'm sitting next to my guitar player who I started the band with right now, like. We was talking about how, like, our first show in Austin, some girl, like, walked to the front of the stage and, like, kind of stuck her ear out and, like, shook her head and walked out the door. A lot of people were, like, just quit. Like, she was basically indicating, like, you guys are fucking terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you have to make that sacrifice to go out there and do it again and like continue to like just do it. Like me and him, we just fucking like went hard and continued to do it. We got told no. I mean, we've been getting rejected from labels since 2000 what? Like
I want to say like 2018, 2017.
Yeah, probably like 17. 2018, 17. We've been getting rejected from labels for that long. Like dead ass no. Not what we're looking for. Like stay in touch. Never hits us. Like all kinds of whatever runarounds that you can give an artist. We went through all of that until it was like, all right, I'm going to stop asking. Like I'm going to make something that they come to us. Mm. So the dynamic of it just switched when we dropped our record. And, you know, now we've got, I mean, Def Jam hit us up. I mean, we turned down all the major shit, but Def Jam, Island Records, and whatever, Sony, like, we have spoke with every label that I ever dreamed of. And even that shit is like a facade. Like, once you have a product and you get to the major label situation, and then they're like, we love you. We want to take 80% of it.
Right.
You must really love it.
He's like, nah, fuck that. I'm going to go to a different label where they fuck with us more.
And now with Empire, you're able to keep all your masters, right?
So basically right now I'm like licensing out my masters, and it's not in perpetuity, meaning it's not forever. So right. Basically like a record deal is you like, you give your masters away forever. But a lot of artists, I feel like they have leverage nowadays, are doing licensing deals with these labels. So essentially, I mean, I have a record deal. I'm not like independent, if you will, but I mean, I do get to keep my masters after 12 years. And like, I do have like a way higher split
with the majority of labels would give, right?
Yeah, I think you would probably at my like level probably get like an 18-20% split.
Ooh.
At a major where I have a 50-50 split with the company.
You have a 50-50 split?
Yeah.
I don't think people know how fucking crazy that is. Because I think that when you're talking numbers like that, if you're not in the know of how the industry works, you think that shit is normal, that you get 50%. Like what you just said about 18 to 20, like that's standard.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great deal, yeah.
That's standard. You got 50%. That's fucking incredible.
Is it, you know, Nima, the second in command at the company was the one who signed us. So we didn't go through any of the A&R shit. You know, we didn't go through any of that. Like, he just DM'd me and shit. So, like, it was way easier to when we have somebody like that on our side to be, like, that really fucks with it and plays it for everybody. Like, this motherfucker was playing our shit for Snoop Dogg, something like that, like, just random shit. So, like, when you have somebody like that that's championing you and he's, like, the head of the company next to Gazi, it just made the situation for us easier because he believed in it. And we built a relationship, like being likable and making somebody want to like really invest in your vision at all costs. So, like,
now yeah. you ran that kind of background circuit of Austin, Texas, where you were kind of like in touch with all the studios and in touch with all the venues and all that stuff before you got to this place, right?
For sure, yeah, that was like a stepping stone, like. For sure.
Yeah, because I want to make it clear that you didn't just randomly get a DM from a major label or an independent major. You didn't randomly get a DM from them and then it was just like, oh, fucking, we're on and popping. It was mm-hmm. like you put in a bunch of legwork before. And correct me if I'm wrong, you were in different situations with like little indie labels before that, right?
I was never in a deal, but I had a long-term management that was really bad, like a management situation. This last like release, I released through an independent label, but yeah, no, nah, it wasn't even a record deal. It was like
management situation.
Yeah, and a distribution kind of thing.
Can you tell me how having the wrong manager could affect your career?
Mm-hmm.
Sure, man. Like. And I mean, had we not put our foot down and just said, hey, we're leaving, and they were even on some shit like, you're not leaving, like, you can't leave, you're connected to us for 8 years kind of shit. If we didn't just, like, put our foot down and say, well, that's fine, but I'm leaving. I don't know if you agree, I would say it would pretty much ruin our career, for sure.
And 100%.
And that kind of goes full circle because we had an entertainment lawyer on, and she was basically saying how a management team basically was trying to take advantage of the artists or putting them in like a bad dealings, and it kind of just, in a sense, ruined their careers. And it was kind of stuck with that label for however long they signed the contract for. And, you know, we try to, you know, let artists know you got to be really wary of those situations, especially when you have people representing you.
Yeah, my managers, my current management team, really like changed the scope of our project. It makes it a whole different scenario. Like, I can't say that, like, my hard work is the only reason why we're, like, getting into the situations we are now. It's more of, like, a hard work gets you to get noticed by somebody who's willing to connect you with their connections. And they're comfortable putting their name on the line because they believe what you're doing is valuable. And they think that their friends think it'll be valuable, too. So, right. Like, that's one of those things where, like, we worked our ass off just to get into that door. And then, you know, they helped us roll out the first album. And then once the music came out and it had some sort of push behind it where we can get the right playlist thing and we can get on some good press, and they put some money into us as well, you know, then it was like, all right, now, like, the head of Def Jam sends me a DM, the head of Empire sends me a DM, and fucking like the new head of Sony, Urban, to the DM, and was like, "Yo, come to the crib." Like, all of that came after a lot of hard work, $15,000 of money none of us had, just had to fucking scoop up, and more than that, really, because that's like post album. And like, I was talking to my boy Alejandro about this earlier. He was saying, like, we were just sitting in the room, like, after we had got out of a session with Alchemist and Larry June and shit. And he was playing us a Schoolboy's new album. And he was like, damn, bro, this is crazy. Because we used to be fucking, like, washing dishes, then coming at 1 in the morning to rehearse for a show. Washing dishes. I was in the shit frying chicken. He was serving a bunch of rude-ass customers. And we was thinking, like, damn, we're, like, actually getting to that point now. And he's like, it's crazy because we had so many friends that we came up with. And so many different, like, people that we, like, came up with that are doing music, that were doing longer than us, that were more popular than us at the time. And it's like, we just, like, pushed through all that noise. And he was like, yo, it's crazy because the likelihood of that happening for musicians is so low at this point. Like, so little people do it. And I was like, the reason is because, first of all, like, you have to get through people telling you you suck. You have to get through people laughing at you. You got to get through people, like, telling you no constantly telling you no, telling you you're not, it's not good enough, it's not ready yet. You have to get through actually getting better, which is a shit ton of hard work in itself. And then you have to get through the phase of investing in yourself. Like, the fact that we took, like, I made, like, we just got our advance, and shit, so we're doing all right now. But, like, bro, we was making an album. This is the last record we put out with, like, -$800 in my bank account at certain times, bro. And owing everybody I know money kind of shit. And it was, like, very, very depressing and difficult. But there was a purpose behind it. So every time I got, like, whatever, a $1,000 check from a show, $2,000 check or whatever, I would put it right back into it. Don't, like, enjoy it for nothing. Like, just put it right back into what we're doing. Because, and that's what cuts the probability of making it in such a fucking, like, huge portion, because, like, sensibly, that's not really a smart thing to do. Like, you shouldn't take what little money you have and put it into something that's not going to make you more money or even help you survive. But that's why they say it takes being a little bit crazy to get to that next level, because, like, I was like, well, I don't give a fuck if I eat or sleep or have anywhere to sleep, as long as I can get this record done, because if I know if I get this record done, I'll be able to sleep for the rest of my fucking life in a nice place.
Bro, it's called putting your money where your mouth is. That's what you guys did. You put your money where your fucking mouth is, and that's the one thing that artists are not capable of doing enough. They don't believe in themselves enough to actually invest all their money into themselves. And yeah, no, if you were talking to a financial advisor, they tell you that was fucking stupid. But they can't foresee the next 6 months.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yo, the shit that you guys have done in the period of time that you've done it, like, bro, even if you blew up after 5 years, right? That's still quick for this business. Like, there's people who do this shit for 20 and never get anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Not here, for sure, bro.
You know, so it's admirable. Like, what you're saying, you know, we preach that shit on the podcast so often because it's admirable when I see someone turn around. Like, we had an episode a couple weeks ago where I said, yeah, I used to be a waiter and I would go to the studio. If I only had one shift that week, I would record one song. If I had two or three shifts that week and I was able to afford to record four or five songs, I would record those five songs. But, like, yeah. I put every fucking thing I had into the music, you know? And I don't think that people understand how crucial that money actually is. That money just shows that you believe in yourself. Like, yo, you could get every free beat in the world. You could record on GarageBand. You could do all that shit that you want. But that money is belief.
Yeah, man. It's belief and just knowing that it's going to come back. You know, money isn't everything. When you get it, you just gotta invest in the right shit, bro. Like, it's invest in you. But like you said, it's like about believing in yourself. Like, cause if I didn't wake up every morning, like, I used to work security at this like kind of stadium, and I would be walking in the back while they were doing the concerts, and I would hear the crowd out, you know, side roaring. You know, I would hear the crowd roaring for whatever artist was playing at the stadium that day, and I was working security in the back. And I used to dead ass like close my eyes and like be walking, like, you know, back there and just act like I was walking to the stage and shit. Mm. It was like about the visualization and like actually mentally, like literally putting myself there to say like, yo, this is what I'm doing. Like, I already believe it. So that when you get closer to that goal, it doesn't like shell shock you. It doesn't like, it's like I was telling Alejandro, like, we literally have mentally been here. So everybody on the social media scene, they're like, oh my God, blah, blah, blah. I was like, we're chilling because like we mentally have been here for the last 5 years. And when we met up for the first time, we was like, yo, this is where we're going to go. So that's like how we're going to act right now. And if like, obviously no one else believed us because it wasn't there. But for real, like, we mentally were there this whole time. And whatever we're going to go from here, like, we're already mentally there.
And there's so much power in that as far as like that visualization piece that you mentioned, like just, you know, kind of closing your eyes, even though you're working and trying to maintain or try to create your music career, you're still having that in the back of your mind and you're trying to implement certain things in your life to, you know, kind of still get that feeling, even though you're not fully there yet. And, you know, I've never met you before, but just hearing from like, from, you know, Diggy speaks highly of you and just hearing from like the things that you mentioned as far as like the depression and, you know, kind of trying to build everything up on, you know, those days where it just seemed like the shit wasn't working, but you just had to reinvest in yourself. Those are the points that nobody really ever really talks about. And, you know, that's why a lot of artists have come up and thinking, oh, this is just rosy. Everything's going to be perfectly fine. I'm going to be happy. And then when they start going through those depressions and they start going through those feelings, they either quit or they just try to find something else to do and just like give up entirely. And it's like, you got to have that perseverance. You got to have that resilience to kind of push past those things. And, you know, I'm glad to hear that you were one of those artists that openly could talk about it, number one. But then number two, ultimately start reaching those goals and start seeing those things for yourself.
Yeah, bro. I mean, you know how it goes. Like, you just got to keep your head down and, like, just keep rolling with it, you know? There's always going to be a bump in the road. We have so much crazy shit happen to us, like...
Have you ever, bro? You guys have been through the fucking ringer.
Yeah, I even seen when you guys lost the truck, got flooded out when you guys was in New York. I seen that and I was like, wow, that's crazy. But then the perseverance and the people actually, if I'm not mistaken, they helped you out as far as like getting some of that equipment back and all the gear and shit. But it's just like shit like that happens. It's like, what do you do? Do you quit? Do you stop? Or do you keep pushing?
Yeah, I mean, I, from that sort of, it's like, all right, how do you flip this situation? Like, you know, next thing you know, the news was reporting Black Odyssey got, you know, flooded out. That's press. Mm-hmm. You know, that whole shit with Rory and shit. Rory, like, reached out and put us up, posted it on the story. The next thing you know, he's on his podcast saying, this is my favorite album of the year. That, like, ran our fan base up really, really good this year. And
bro, that's when I knew. That's the second that I knew. Because, you know, I'm closely watching you since you were a kid, you know, and... When I was watching that podcast and without, you know, I watch that podcast regularly. So it was without you telling me, yo, go check this clip. I'm watching that podcast and just randomly I hear my friend's name being mentioned on a podcast mm-hmm. of that magnitude. That's when I knew. I'm like, fuck that. He's about to be a fucking household name. Because, bro, it's not like you had to pay for that.
No, hell no. I didn't have the bread to pay for that. Oh, shit.
But, yo, if you have to go, we understand. We appreciate you being on for any amount of time. All right? Hopefully we could...
Hey, I'm going to be in Jersey. I'm going to be in Jersey in a couple of weeks if you want to do it in person, bro.
Hey, bro, I'm with it. If you want to pull up and do that, let's do it.
Or y'all could just pull up to the studio.
I'm with that too. I got my Roadcaster, so I'm gonna put everything in a bag and head over.
Come to the studio. I'm gonna be in the year. It'll be fun.
Absolutely, be brother. Yes, sir. Yeah. Love you, brother. I can't wait to see you guys when you pull up and just keep doing what you're doing, bro. It's working, and a lot of respect and fucking admiration for what you do.
Appreciate you too for the time.
Love
bro.
You, my boy.
All right, brother. Yeah.
Peace.
Yo,
low key, we collectively collected like some stars and some people that's like really, you know.
What did you take from that conversation?
What I took about that from that conversation is literally just motivation to keep doing what the fuck I've been doing. And literally just kind of sticking to the mindset and sticking to the plan of what needs to take place and what needs to be done. And like I said, I'll be having a lot of those depressive days when shit doesn't be working out. But then look how magically, no, not say magically. Let me not say that because it's the wrong word. Look how the hard work that you put in and the money that you invest in yourself, look what it can do for you when you continue to stay on that path. That sounds better than magically.
How many times have I mentioned him on our podcast? I don't know if I ever have.
I don't think you have. Never.
I don't think Zero. I ever have. I have those people mm-hmm. that have been in my life for a long fucking time. Mark Barino's another one of them. If he didn't come and do the podcast, you would have never, like...
Collecting stars. You know,
but what I'm saying is, what me and my boys have in common is that through all the fucking madness and through all the fuck shit and through all the depressive moments and all the sadness and everything that you experience in this game, we've just pushed through.
Perseverance.
I've managed artists in the past that, you know, they were young, so they didn't have it in them to just push through.
Mm-hmm.
I was with my artist that I used to manage, Ra, the other day, and we're sitting in the studio, and I said to him, I was like, bro, this is what upsets me, because you're talking about 4 or 5 years later and we're sitting next to each other in the studio again. And I said to him, what upsets me is that I know you had it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that if you would have just got past the little stubborn moments and you would have just like pushed through and had a little bit of trust.
You would have got there.
Because that's the thing is like, I know it's hard to trust people in this industry, but I know that if he trusted me a little bit more, I could have definitely gotten him somewhere. You know what I mean? And what... I just want people to know, like, that phone call is organic. We were talking before this episode even came about. I just asked him if he would do a little quick portion on our episode. But that's not, I'm never going to talk about the people I know on here. I think that shit is fucking corny. You know, I don't need that in order for our podcast to get bigger. I'm not going to use my connections in the game for clout.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But I just hope you guys know that was a genuine conversation, and a lot of the things he's saying might be what you're experiencing right now. You know, like he's talking about fucking washing dishes and his other band member is serving plates to people.
The fool.
You know what I'm saying? Like everyone's going through the same shit. Like we have to take ourselves back to last episode. We have to take ourselves out of it for a second and look at our circumstances and understand that this is not unique to you. Everyone goes through these moments.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like we all go through these downward spirals where we're like, yo, nothing's connecting. But the thing is, it's all about that perseverance and how you pick yourself up. You pick yourself up and you keep on pushing, bro. I'm telling you, the people that you know, don't have it in them are just going to fall off. And, you know, there's only so many slots within the actual industry, or there's only so many people that have that mentality where they could just kind of push through and get to where they need to go. And that's why it's so fucking miraculous when people do it, because it takes everything.
It's like you're not even supposed to really be here. It's technically, like, you how, when you look at the odds and the numbers, like, how the fuck did I get here? And it's like, oh shit. Then you look back, those depressive moments. Like, he said he was in his closet for hours when he was in Texas, just trying to figure this shit out.
Dog, it's the league. Like, you have to understand, like, this is the NBA. You look at a college basketball team, D1, and there might be someone who watches D1 basketball and goes, every one of these players is going to be in the NBA. Yo, it's one or two players per team, if that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to understand how fucking insane this shit is. And that's why, like, when I see shit like that, and I know, like, he's saying it on the podcast, I wouldn't have given the information that I know what he was going through.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I've seen where he came from. I've seen the rejection. I've seen him turn in full albums to his management team at the time. And if I was his manager, them albums would have gone. Lucky for him, and he might even disagree with that, because all of that shit led to his debut and where he's at, right? But we're not talking about bullshit music. The music that he was getting turned down was fucking amazing music. I still have it in my email. It's fucking incredible. But, you know, to be told, and I'm talking about putting together 9 tracks and have someone just say, that's not it. How do you push through, and how do you get the motivation to go and make another album after that?
And that's why I said, like, kind of the things that he was discussing, I can hear it now within the music. Like, you know, within speaking to him, you can start to see and align the music to the person who's speaking about what he was discussing when it comes to depression and all those things. And it's like, you got to have admiration for people like that. You always got to have respect for those people, because it's like, they're not trying to fake it. They're not trying to hide what it's really like to go through the shit that we, like, once again, that we all experience and that we go through. And it's like, you know, we say it all the time, like, you know, independent artists, whatever the case may be, we all are collectively people that technically together, because we're all chasing this one thing. Some of us make it this, some of us don't. Some of us fall off the wagon, whatever the case may be. But that was the original passion. That's the thing that drove us to want to do music. But once again, a lot of people just glorify the positive shit. And just once like he said, when you reach that specific point in that spot, that's one thing people see. But all that hard work and all that treachery behind the closed doors, nobody sees. And then that just kind of ties in with how people can perceive you as being negative. It's like, yo, I done seen this shit. I done seen it happen. I done seen it happen so many times.
That's why I said that I don't speak about my connections, because I think that that's nasty. But, like, I've watched this shit happen.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Yo, that's why, like, when I say things, I know that they might come off a certain way, but I'm not exactly somebody who has never seen it before. You know, people want to go to my Spotify or go to whatever and say, oh, he didn't make it himself. But that's not what we're talking about here, because I'm not trying to do that.
Yeah.
I've been very fucking vocal that I'm not trying to be an artist like that. You know what I mean? But if I was trying to be an artist, and say I want to kick it up this year, right? Mm-hmm. And say, fuck it, I'm going to be an artist. I'm going to be recording every fucking week, probably 4 tracks a week, because I just have it like that, mm-hmm, as far as my work ethic. And I'm going to be putting my paychecks into the marketing of my records. And I could promise you, if I do that, you're not looking at my numbers and saying, well, he didn't. It's just, it's math, bro. It is what it is.
But that's what it comes down to. That's the thing. It's like, it's not that we're making this shit up. Like, it's not real. Like, it's not made up. Like,
bruh,
it's not.
He's just talking about how it took $15,000,
mm-hmm,
and a lot of legwork.
Them price points, man.
You still have to have a good product. You still have to have good music. But $15,000 is what got him there.
See, I'm at 5
for,
right now.
For everyone, it's different. Exactly. You have to understand, for different. Every single person is different. That price is different. If your music falls into this category, that price might be 30 grand. Look at where 5 got you.
That's true.
Now imagine you tripled that.
And I was just saying that shit. If I had the fucking money and I was able to do so, the shit that I struggle with or I talk about now is like, if an unlimited budget was the situation for almost every artist, you have to really have some really horrible trash music for you not to get noticed or get any type of buzz.
It'd
if
be
you
very
have the
difficult.
Money behind you, you'd, it'd be
you'd,
very
you'd
difficult.
You literally have to wear like a fucking Klan outfit.
Yeah,
in your video
and
to
rapping.
Not. Yeah,
like that's the only way.
Bro, if you have money and you have a decent product, it doesn't even have to be great. Juwan happens to be great. Black Odyssey's music happens to be fucking great. But if you have even a decent product and some money behind it, you can get somewhere. But we need to cut out that whole thinking that this shit just happens miraculously, because it fucking doesn't. Like, what I was trying to get out of that conversation is the understanding. And he's not someone who doesn't know what the fuck he went through or what he's put into it, right? He's not going to turn around and tell you, yeah, it was crazy, bro. Just one day I just got a random DM.
I woke up and it was Tom.
Nah, because even when he said that, he goes back on it and says, yeah, but we put 15 grand in. I was in every studio building connections, this and that. This connection led to this connection. Like, yo, it's not rocket science how this shit works. It's just a lot of fucking hard work and a lot of fucking money. And if you can make those things work together, you can get somewhere in this business. But we have to cut out that thinking that it's just luck. It's not.
And you know what's crazy? I'm vocal and I'm a big believer of the universe or whatever the case may be. But it's kind of crazy that the episode we just had previously before this, number one, once again, this is not scripted at all. This kind of just randomly happened. Yeah. It was the most random shit ever, honestly. But we were just literally talking about not being college and kind of having to go through those hard situations and being able to put the money behind it and just understand, like, it's a lot of hard work. And then, you know, the next episode is the fucking perfect example of what we were just discussing. And right. It's like, it's coming straight from a mouth the of source. An artist that is reaching that point that they were looking to reach. And it's like, yeah, we can't fucking go grab Drake or somebody. But it's like, if you're like an upcoming artist, this is as close as you can probably like have a conversation with somebody or listen to that conversation where they're actively talking about the numbers.
I also want people to understand, like, within the next year, every single person in America is going to know who he is.
And when you told me that shit, I was like, Black Odyssey, I never heard of it.
I told you that early.
Mm-hmm.
And I told you that early.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
I said, my guy is going to be a household name within a few years. Like, I'm telling you this. Me and him have had conversations where he's even said that to me. Yo, give me till 2022. I remember me and you were sitting in the studio one time. It might have been after an episode. And I remember me and him were having a conversation through text.
Oh, yeah.
And he was talking about 2022. This is in 2021. He's not saying like, yo, it's happening right now. He's like, yo, give it a few years. Because
mm-hmm.
he knows how the business works. You know what I mean? But yo, just to see where he's come from. He was this skinny kid that bro, I used to drive him to fucking basketball games and shit. You know what I mean? Like, yo, I used to coach him in summer league games. That's where that relationship comes from, you know? And when he told me that he wanted to work on music, I didn't turn him away and say, nah.
Stick to your jumper.
I brought him in open arms because to me, it's like, bro, if you have drive and passion to do this shit, I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're not good when you start, this and that. I'm always going to embrace it because I know that everyone in this game could get better. Everyone could fucking make it if they have the right circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that no one is undeserving of an opportunity. And that's how I personally feel.
I feel the same fucking way.
You know what I mean? But yeah, another good episode. I hope you guys enjoyed that conversation. I hope you guys enjoyed last week's episode as well. This is Rapper's Guide Podcast. We're signing out. This is Diggy Metro.
Bales Pagliacci.
Peace out, guys.
And I just thought about something, though.
What's up?
If it was really a white guy in a Klans thing rapping, I think it probably would sell. It's America, bro.
It would sell till he got killed.
That's also true. Probably would work. Somebody's going to do it. Somebody probably already is doing it right now.
Have you seen Jordan Lucas?
Jordan Lucas technically did it, but it was like kind of in a weird way.
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah. That's just a random ass bitch.
That's what it is. All right, guys. Peace out.